Romans chapter 13, beginning at verse 12. It says this, "The night is almost gone. The day of salvation will soon be here. So remove your dark deeds like dirty clothes. Put on the shining armor of right living, because we belong to the day. We must live decent lives for all to see. Do not participate in the darkness of wild parties and drunkenness or sexual promiscuity and immoral living or in quarreling or jealousy. Instead, clothe yourself with the presence of the Lord Jesus. And don't let yourself think about ways to indulge in your evil desires." That verse always blows my mind away. How many of you were blown away right now just when we read that? Yeah, it's crazy. This is one of those verses that I could just read and just close and say, okay, thank you for coming to church. It's over, because it's self-explanatory. Let me explain to you what's happening here. The city of Rome was so filled with sin. It was so pagan, and idols were everywhere, and people were just drunk all the time, and there was wild orgies going on and parties, and it was a place where God was nowhere to be found. What was so amazing about this era, when Paul was writing this, is there was a movement of Christ happening. Even though the city was so dark, Christianity began to spread rapidly. Lives were being transformed. People were changing. And God was moving. When I read a verse like this, it always encourages me, because it shows me that it doesn't matter how dark a person might be, what sin they're in, how messed up you think their lives are, and how hopeless it seems that they'll never change. You could always experience the movement of God if you would allow Him to come into your life. Amen? And this is what I see happening here. Christ comes into that city. His Spirit fills so many people. And there's a movement happening. As a pastor, one of the most encouraging things that just fills me and kind of refuels me is to see a changed life. What I love about Forward, it doesn't matter who you are, where you've come from, what your life looks like. We are strong in having an environment where we know that God welcomes you here, God loves you here, and God can certainly change you here. Amen? And that's what I appreciate so much about this church. And I've seen so many lives transform, and I get so many letters and phone calls of what God is doing in someone's life. And I have this habit of always reminding someone, saying, hey, you've changed. You guys notice that I've done it to a lot of you. Hey, I see a difference in you, because it's so encouraging. You want to know something that really discourages me, though? What downright almost depresses me is when I see someone change for the worse. When I see a person lose their passion for God, when I see someone that's not excited anymore about God's things, it's hard to get them to church. They're nowhere to be found. They don't read their Bibles anymore. They sit here and worship, but they don't really feel it, and it's just in and out. And it's almost like God doesn't move them anymore. And maybe that might describe you here today or listening to me online. I don't know who you are. But it saddens me. It saddens God when a person changes for the worse. And it saddened Paul as he wrote this. Because what happened was the movement of God stopped. As I read this, I began to ask myself, what happened? God was so powerful in their lives. He was doing so many amazing things for them, and things were happening, and there was joy, there was peace, there was worship. And all of a sudden, the people forgot about God. They're living in sin. They're gratifying their evil desires. And they forgot about God. They left them behind. They're acting like everyone else. in their pagan worship. They started idol worshiping, and they started doing all these things that God said was detestable to him. And I read that and I say, what happened? And Paul is writing this letter for the same reason. He wants to know what's going on over there. What happened to you guys? Where's that fire? Where's that devotion you used to have for God? Where has it gone? And let me explain to you what happened and how I got this message. Last week, I was doing my laundry. I'm the type that waits for the very last clothes, like I don't have anything left. Then I say, it's time to do laundry. By then, it's a huge, massive pile. And I said, today, I'm not going to bother mom with it. I'm going to handle it, you know? Yes. So it took hours and hours and hours. But there was one shirt. I had a meeting the next day. And I said, okay, I know you're clean. I know you smell nice. You're not wrinkled. I'm going to wear you tomorrow. I don't talk to my clothes. I'm just telling you this, okay? So I'm here and I'm saying, okay, I'm going to wear you tomorrow. So I had it all picked out. And I had all the pile of dirty laundry there in my apartment. And I made the mistake, and I didn't notice this, but I put the shirt on the dirty laundry pile, right? And the next day when I got up to go wear that shirt and I put it on, it stank. It was bad. I mean, I don't know what happened, but when I put that shirt on, the nice smell was gone. When I put that shirt on, it smelled like all the other shirts that I put in this pile and declared it dirty. And like Paul, I picked up that shirt and I said, what happened to you? You used to be clean. I wanted to wear you. But you know what happened? It got mixed in with the wrong pile. And as hours went by, you would think, oh, that shirt made every other shirt clean. No, the opposite. The dirty shirts influenced the other shirt. The dirty smell went onto this shirt and became just like all the other shirts. That's what happened here. That's what happened to the people. They were so clean. They were so full of love for God. God had so much for them. But what happened was, they started mixing in with the wrong pile of people. They started allowing the influence of the Roman culture into their lives. What happened was, godly people began to compromise. God followers, Christ followers began to accept things that he said was unacceptable. And all of a sudden, they started doing things that God told them not to do. All because they started mixing. They started blending in. They started allowing things into their lives slowly. It was not rapid. It was slow. And with time, the Roman influence got on them. And all of a sudden, God was out of the equation. The people started idol worshiping. They started committing adultery. There was hatred. There was jealousy. There was drunkenness. And Paul wrote this letter. And I can imagine he's so discouraged because he's wanting to know what happened. What happened to you? And he says, I don't see a difference in your lives. You guys should stand out above all these people. But when I see you, you're just like them. When I see your lives, you act just like every other heathen. What happened to you? And let me explain to you exactly what happened. Influence happened. Influence is very dangerous. Now I understand when I was a child why my mom and dad were on me all the time about who I was with. Right, Mom? Amen, Mom? Who was I hanging out with? She would always, man, she would pick up the phone. Let me see who's talking to. And she would listen in and she would do this. And parents, you understand, right, parents? Kids, we hate it, right? But you know why? Because they don't want you in the dirty laundry. Amen, parents? That's why you have to be real careful who you choose to hang out with, what kind of influences you surround yourself with. You have to be careful who you choose as friends. You have to be real careful who you decide to be boyfriends and girlfriends with. You have to be real careful who you choose to share your life with. Amen? And it's not always easy. But they started mingling with the wrong people. They started compromising in the wrong areas. They are slowly accepting that which God did not allow. And when it starts off small, it doesn't seem harmful. But with time, it grows. And when that grew, the love and the passion for God died. If you're here today and that describes you, chances are it's because you have surrounded yourself in the wrong pile. You've surrounded yourself with the wrong influence. And Paul is all writing this letter because he's wanting to know. And he's telling them, you should be different. I could almost imagine God looking at the Christian people today in the church. And like this letter, he's telling us and he's telling you, you should be different than this. You shouldn't act like those co-workers of yours. You shouldn't act like those friends of yours. You shouldn't be like these people. Why is it that you're talking like them? You're acting like them. You're valuing the same things they are. You're laughing at the same jokes they're telling. Why is it? Where is the difference? I don't see the difference in you. When you are a Christ follower, the Bible teaches that you should stand out from the rest. Amen? But what happens is, as we get further and further from God, we become more and more like the world. And you see this in the church. You see it in Christian homes. Nowadays, you cannot tell who's a Christian and who's not. Nowadays, it's so easy to get confused. Some people say, yeah, I'm a Christian. You stay shocked, right? You? You go to church. No way. When you hear that from someone, you're doing something wrong, because there should be such a difference in your life that God shouldn't have to be like Paul and say, what happened to you? He should look at your life and see that you are not compromising no matter what. You're not compromising in God's word. You're not accepting things that God says not to accept. You are living a right life before the eyes of God. It gets harder and harder with this generation not to compromise. Parents are compromising, allowing their children to do things that they know, but they don't want to fight. They don't want to argue. And I always tell parents, if you want peace in your home, let your kids do whatever they want, because they won't fight with you. They won't argue with you. They won't bicker with you. Parents are afraid of their children nowadays. And they're compromising, allowing them to be with people that you know they shouldn't be with, allowing them to listen to things you know their ears shouldn't be connected to. And that compromise is what got the people here in Rome in trouble. And it's what got them to live such dirty, filthy lives. And I don't know who I'm talking to today, but God is wanting to know what happened to you. And why there's no difference in you. Why there's no change in your life. And why you're just like everyone else. And I love what he says in verse 13. He says, live decent lives for everyone to see. Are you living a decent life before the Lord? Ask yourself that question. That word decent literally translates to be fitting and acceptable. To be fitting and acceptable. Say it with me. To be fitting and acceptable. So what Paul is saying here is, your life fitting to the Lord? Is your life acceptable before God? If you would ask yourself before you make that decision to sin, you would save yourself a lot of trouble. You would save yourself a lot of heartache. Before you get into a relationship, is this acceptable to God? Would this man or woman be acceptable to God in my life? Would this friendship be acceptable and fitting to the Lord? Would this decision I'm about to make, the way I do my taxes, is it fitting and acceptable to God? The way I do things, is it fitting and acceptable to the Lord? If you would ask yourself that question and you would say, no, it doesn't, you would save yourself so much heartache. The problem that we have today is that our lives is no longer acceptable to God. I don't know how much God can take. I don't know how patient God really is. Because every day that goes by is another day that the church drifts further and further from God. And you rarely see any real Christian living an acceptable and fitting life before God. So all Paul is saying here to these people is, hey, you got to start living a life that God would accept. A life that's fitting. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever been in your closet and you find that old outfit you used to wear, right? And you put that sucker on. Hey, honey, it still fits. You know, that ever, anyone? Yeah? No one wants to admit to this. Yeah. And then you say, oh, it shrunk. No, it didn't shrink. You grew, right? But we don't want to admit that. But anyway, you ever gone to your closet and you put that old outfit on and it doesn't fit anymore and it's sad, you get discouraged, and you have that choice. Am I still going to wear this out in public or am I going to put it back, get rid of it? You know what I see nowadays? People that wear it in public. You know what I'm talking about. Have you ever been in the mall? And is that person that thinks spandex looks good on them? Anyone? Don't make me look out to be mean or bad, please. And you look at them, you're like, that's not fitting. Right? And you look at them, like, oh, what are they thinking? I'm not the only one, people. Come on, give me an amen. Come on. All right. And you're thinking, what were they thinking? And they're walking around like it looks good on them. And they're there strutting their stuff. And it's, everything's out there. And it's tight. And it leaves no room to the imagination. And you're thinking, no. No, don't do that. Or if it's your husband that wants to put on that old shirt that he still thinks fits him. I've seen this. My mom does this. She goes, no. No. And it happens. Right? The point is, when something doesn't fit you, you need to get rid of it. As Christians, there are things from your old life that used to be okay with you. It used to be comfortable with you. It used to look good on you. But as your new self in Christ, you need to get rid of it. Your old life, it used to be okay. You were totally comfortable with lying. You were totally comfortable with premarital relationships. You were totally comfortable with sin. But your new life in Christ, things have to change. You cannot go back to the old things you used to look like and the old life you used to live and feel comfortable. What I find today is a lot of, quote, Christians that are putting on the same old outfits from their past. the same old habits, the same old attitudes, the same old problems, the same old sin. You know what happens? When you say you are a Christian, but you live like the world, that's why you get people that look at you and say, oh, no. What are they thinking? They're a Christian, but that doesn't look good on them. You see, when you say that you are a Christ follower, you are held at a higher accountability in how you live your life. And there are certain things that used to be fitting for you, but now that you are a Christ follower, it no longer fits. It's no longer acceptable. You need to get rid of it. What are the things in your life that you know are not fitting for God? What are the old things in your closet that you need to get rid of? Old habits that you have. It shouldn't feel comfortable when you really are a believer. So why go out in public and think it's okay? This is why there's so many Christians that are viewed as hypocrites. And I call them Christian in spandex. They go out there and they look horrible. They give bad examples. They're just like everyone else. They hate like everyone else. They gossip like everyone else. They bicker like everyone else. They sin like everyone else. So I would ask you, is your life acceptable to God? Let me ask you this. Is your life at home acceptable to God? Hey, husbands, the way you treat your wives, would it be acceptable to the Lord? Wives, the ways you treat your husband, would it be fitting for God? Who are you at work? What comes out of your mouth? Or who are you when you're alone? Is it acceptable to God? In each and every one of us in this room, we have that one outfit that we know is not fitting right in front of God's eyes. That one thing in your life you know you need to get rid of because it's no longer fitting. Is your attitude acceptable to God? There's so many Christians with so much bitterness, so much hatred. It's amazing what comes out of their mouths about other people. When someone mistreats them, you act just like everyone else in the world. You see, when you say, I am a Christian, you're saying, I'm standing out from the rest. Amen. I'm different. I'm not going to be like you. I'm not going to value what you value. This is what blew my mind away. In verse 14. Let me read this to you. He says here, because we belong to the day. The day is referring to God. He is also known as the day, the light. So in other words, what he's saying here is we belong to God. We must live decent lives for all to see. Don't participate in darkness, wild parties and drunkenness, and immoral living, or fighting and quarreling and jealousy. You see, that's really prevalent in your lives today. There's a lot of jealousy. There's a lot of strife. There's a lot of anger. Did you know that that is not fitting for a Christian? If you're here today and there's anger and bitterness and all kinds of this emotional bondage, that's not fitting for God. And notice what it says here. Instead, would you clothe yourself with the presence of the Lord Jesus? Let me explain to you something interesting. In those times, in that era, and like my mom says, for some reason, she says, you can tell a lot about a person by the way they what, mom? They dress. And that was so true then in the Bible. Your clothes meant everything to people. Your clothes told people what economic background you were from, where you were from, what tribe you lived in. Your clothes even showed what God you worshiped. You didn't have to say much back then for people to know who you were. Your clothes said it all. That's why Paul used that as a reference. You have to clothe yourself with Jesus. You know what Paul is saying here? You shouldn't have to say anything to anyone about your faith in Christ. They should just be able to see it. Your appearance should say it all. Your life should say it all. And if that's true, we're in trouble, aren't we? Because what is your life telling people? How are you making Jesus look with your life? We have a lot of people that are saying, hey, I'm a Christian. Hey, they say it a lot, don't they? You say it a lot. But you know, the Bible doesn't teach you to say that you're a Christian. It says, hey, you need to live like one. That explains louder than anything that comes out of your mouth. So it's like putting on Jesus, is what Paul says here. Put him on already and stand out from everyone. Stop living like the world. Stop living like everyone else. And put on, clothe yourself with the presence of the Lord. Let people see Jesus in the way that you live your life. Let people see Jesus in your attitude. Do they see Jesus in your character? Do they see Jesus coming out of your mouth the way you speak? Or do people see you like everyone else in the world, like everyone else in your classroom, like everyone else in your job, like everyone else and like all your non-Christian family? When you step in wearing Jesus, you stand out. And there is a difference that shows in your life. We need to stop saying it with our mouths and start living it through our actions. Amen? But it's so sad that so many people are forgetting to put on Jesus. People should know, listen, that you are a Christian without you having to tell them. They should see such a difference in you. But it's sad that they're not. You need to put on Jesus, kids, when you go to school. You need to put on Jesus when you go to work. You need to put on Jesus when you raise your child. You need to put on Jesus daily. That's what Paul is saying here. When you put on Jesus, it means you take on the image of Christ. When you put on Jesus, you're supposed to love unconditionally. Let me say that one more time. When you put on Jesus, you love unconditionally. For some, that's hard. When you put on Jesus, you forgive. Amen? That's why it's hard to put on Jesus sometimes. When you put on Jesus, you're patient. When you put on Jesus, you're kind. When you put on Jesus, you serve and you give, expecting nothing in return. That's what it means to put on the presence of Christ in your life. It's so sad that the only time we wear our Jesus outfit is on Sundays. We put on Jesus because it's Sunday. Let's go to Forward. Come on, let's put on your Jesus. And then you come home today and you hang them back out there because Monday through Saturday, you need to be out in the world like everyone else. But did you notice your clothes, the minute you put it on without thinking about it, goes everywhere with you for that day? Jesus goes everywhere with you every day. It sounds crazy, but when you get out of bed, you need to look at yourself and say, Jesus is on me. And I need to model him right. You know, I don't understand women. Maybe you can explain this to me, you know. Why do you guys talk for hours about your outfit? You ever notice that, Rachel, right? It's just, I see it all the time with the girls here in this church. I don't know what happens during women's ministry or whatever, but when I have been here and I have seen one woman wear a nice pair, they're just shoes, women, they're just shoes, but they dwell on them. And they're like, oh, look at your shoes, oh, I know. And they start modeling it. And then they go, oh, but look, it matches. And look, and they start strutting, right? And then they're all excited. And I was thinking about that. Man, what if as Christians, that's what we look like? That the world looks at you and says, oh, look at Jesus. Look, and you're, oh, yeah, I know this. Yeah, that's forgiveness. It goes well with my patience. Looks. And does this kindness and giving make my butt look good? Yeah, because it's Jesus on me. That's what the world should think about you. They should see Jesus on you. They should glory in the fact that you look and act like Him. That you value the same things He did. And you treat people like He did. That's what it looks like to put on Jesus. Now let me ask you this. Have you been modeling Jesus in your daily living? Would you say to yourself, as a mother, as a father, as a husband, as a wife, as a child, as a Christian, have I been modeling Jesus Christ through my actions, through my behaviors, through my moral living? Or is He back in the closet? I don't want years from now for you to find your Jesus outfit all dusty in the closet and go, oh, I forgot about this. I want Forward Fellowship to be a church where everyone models Christ on a daily living, not just here. The church has become a runway where Christians just model Jesus Christ for a few hours. They all say, oh, that looks good, and then they leave. The church is not a runway. The world is. You go out there and you model Jesus Christ, amen, through every day of your life. I want to close with Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. This came to my mind. With the Lord's authority, I say, live no how? Longer. Live no longer. This is your opportunity today to stop living the way you've been living. Live no longer. As the Gentiles do. For they are hopelessly confused. Their minds are full of hopelessness. Now notice this. Their minds are full of darkness. They wander far from the life of God. Does this sound like you today? Do you feel hopeless? Is your life far from God? Their minds are full of darkness. They wander far from the life of God that God gives them because they have closed their minds and hardened their hearts against Him. They have no sense of shame. They live for lustful pleasure and eagerly practice every kind of impurity. But that isn't what you learn about Christ. Since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from Him, throw off your old sinful nature. Throw it away. And your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and what? Attitudes. That's hard. And put on, notice that, put on your new nature, created to be like God. That's it. You need to throw away your old life, your old attitudes, your old way of living, and you need to tell yourself, I now wear Christ. I have put Him on, and I'm going to model Him to the fullest. And I don't know who I'm talking to this morning, but it's not too late for you. Are you ready to step out into this world and put on Jesus Christ? With every head bowed this morning, every eye closed. Spend a moment there with the Lord. And ask yourself, Has my life been fitting to the Lord? Am I living right before God? If you're here today, there's a lot of jealousy and anger and strife and bitterness in your heart. You need to throw that away. Spend a moment there with the Lord. He'll reveal to you right now those things in your life you need to throw away. Father, open their hearts in Jesus' name to the things in their lives they need to throw and the new things in their lives they need to put on. If you're here this morning, I don't know who you are, but you're ready to put on Jesus Christ. Maybe for the first time ever, let me explain to you that He loves you. No matter where you've come from, no matter where you've been, what background you have, no matter who you are, no matter who you're not, He loves you and He desires a relationship with you. He died on the cross for your sins. And the Word of God says, if anyone acknowledges me before men that I am the Lord, if you acknowledge before men that Jesus is God and that He died for your sins, you will be saved. Some of you may need to make this decision for the first time. If this is you right where you're at, no one's looking around, would you say, Pastor, that's me. I know I need to put on Jesus for the first time. Just lift your hand up where you're at. Amen. God bless you and you. And if you're here this morning and you know that you are a Christian, you know and remember that day you gave your life to Jesus, but maybe you have not been modeling Him correctly. Maybe there's sin in your life. Maybe there's certain attitudes in you that need to go. Maybe you're angry. Maybe you're bitter. Maybe there's something in you that's not allowing you to be different. I don't know who you are. I don't know anything about you. But God does, and He wants to change that in you. You can get rid of those old habits. You can get rid of those old things that aren't fitting anymore. There's some things in your life that you thought were fitting, but now they're very uncomfortable for you. And that's the Holy Spirit telling you, this isn't fitting. You need to get rid of this. If this is your prayer today, would you raise your hand up where you're at so I can see you? God bless you. You, 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 you. God bless you as well. You in the back. You in the back as well. I see you. So many people. We all stand to your feet where you're at. I want to open this time for all those that raised their hands. Maybe for those who didn't. But I want to pray with you. If you're here and you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you raise your hand for that. I want you to come forward as well, and I want to lead you in prayer myself. No matter who you are, this altar is open to you right now. And you can come. You can put Jesus on. And you can leave this church today with Him on you, a new person. Father, I thank you for this service. Father, I thank you for the hearts that were opened, for those that are not living lives that are fitting to you, Father. We pray for forgiveness. Thank you, Lord. You never give up on us. Though we live lives that aren't acceptable to you always, Lord. Though we have attitudes that aren't acceptable to you. I pray, God, that you would remove those things in our lives that aren't fitting. And I pray for all those that come forward today to receive you, that you would form a hedge of protection around them and bless their life tremendously. For all those that rededicated their life to you, Lord. As they come forward, let them feel your presence and create in them a new spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we give God some praise for what's going on in this altar today? Let me tell you that our students today were impacted. Give them a round of applause because a lot of students came up. Feel led to do this today. I want every student in this church to come forward. Every student. If you're under the age of 18, Come forward. Look at this. Look how many students we have in this church. Can we give them a... This is huge. Come to the altar. You come. Look at this. If their parents are here today, can you come forward as well? Where are the parents at? If you are a mentor, come forward as well. You come forward. Our teenagers need prayer. As they go to school, can we stretch a hand to them as we pray for them? Lord, I pray over all the teens in this church, Lord. All the students at Forward Fellowship that have decided to put you on. I pray for all the parents raising these children. Father, we need you to do it. It's difficult in these times. Father, what I pray, as they leave this building today, that everyone see a difference in these teens. That they put you on. And they represent you to the fullest. When it's not easy, give them the strength to remain faithful to you and to keep you on, not to take you off when the pressure is high. And I pray a special hedge of protection over all these kids. And I pray special blessing over the parents and anyone raising these kids. Give them the wisdom and the discernment needed to raise up a godly generation, starting here in this church. We pray this in Jesus' name. God's church said, amen.